welcome to the Tortoise Quick Take Podcast. Thank you for joining us. Today, a senior member of Tortoise provides a timely update on trending topics in the market.
Hello, and welcome to the Tortoise Credit Strategies Weekly Podcast. I'm Greg Handel, one of the senior portfolio managers on the investment team at Tortoise Credit Strategies. In the 1992 presidential campaign for Bill Clinton, his campaign strategist, James Carville, coined the phrase, "It's the economy, stupid." Carville's original phrase was meant for the internal audience of Clinton's campaign workers as one of the three messages to focus on in the campaign. While the slogan was meant for an internal audience only, it became one of a few de facto slogans for the Clinton campaign and has since morphed and is repeated in different variations ever since. Carville's phrase is still relevant today, and during the past week, when we think about what drove the fixed income markets over a slow summer week, it's the economy, stupid, and it's the Fed, stupid. Fed Chairman Janet Yellen delivered her semi-annual Humphrey Hawkins testimony in front of Congress, where she struck a modestly dovish tone, in particular as it relates to inflation or lack thereof. Yellen was upbeat on the real economy, noting continued labor market strength, growth in household spending, business fixed investment turning up, and improving economic growth abroad. However, with respect to inflation, while Yellen articulated that temporary factors have contributed to the recent inflation slowdown, given the persistent shortfall from the Fed's objectives, they will continue to watch this closely. Further, Yellen stated that the neutral Fed funds rate has been held down below historic levels due to factors such as weak growth abroad, dollar strength, low rates of household formation, and weak productivity growth. While some of these factors have dissipated, some remain with us, thereby arguing for a lower terminal or neutral Fed funds rate, in our opinion. The market interpreted many of Yellen's comments with a modestly dovish tilt, while also expecting tapering of quantitative easing to begin this year as a result of the continued strength in the labor markets and desire to move towards some sort of balance sheet normalization. While many market participants believe that increases in the Fed funds rate, while priced into market expectations for potentially one more hike this year, will be more tied to the inflation portion of the Fed's mandate. Again, this distinction, if correct, would put tapering and balance sheet normalization onto more of a set path going forward, while multiple increases in short-term interest rates through the Fed funds rate would be much more questionable and data-dependent, with the medium to longer-term inflationary outlook being a primary driver. Regardless, both aspects of monetary policy, tapering and increasing short-term interest rates, are contractionary policies which must be balanced carefully and typically have a lagged effect of several months before their impact can be measured in the real economy. With regards to news on the U.S. economy, the bulk of the market-moving data came near the end of the week, with a continuation of soft inflation data as well as less than stellar data on consumer spending. On the inflation front, last Friday's CPI report undershot market expectations for the fourth consecutive month. The headline CPI was reported flat for the month and on a year-over-year basis slipped to 1.6% from 1.9% in May and below the 1.7% forecast, while the core CPI, excluding the volatile food and energy components, was up a less than expected 0.1% for the month, or 1.7% on a year-over-year basis. Digging into the details, an increase in owner's equivalent rent prices was more than offset by weakness in lodging, airfare, and core goods such as new and used vehicle prices. Meanwhile, June retail sales also came in well below expectations. Total retail sales were down 0.2% in June, while sales in the control group, retail sales excluding autos, gas, and building materials, declined 0.1%. Cell phone data plans, gas station sales, department store sales, and food and beverage sales accounted for some of the notable weakness, while online retailing remains strong yet has been decelerating a bit. One of the benefits of a weak CPI print is that each dollar of nominal spending translates into more real spending, and so, even with a decline in nominal sales in the retail control group, we still anticipate a modest increase in real consumer spending, thereby having little impact on real GDP for the quarter. In summary, on the economic front, we will continue to watch the trend in inflation data over the next several months to help determine how transitory the soft patch of inflation data really is, and would expect any sustained continuation in below-trend inflation to influence the Fed's interest rate policy trajectory and not their balance sheet tapering trajectory. Further, we believe the recent softness in the retail sales data is likely short-lived and, on a positive note, is being partially offset by some more encouraging data on industrial production recently. As a result of the modestly dovish Humphrey Hawkins testimony, as well as the softer inflation and retail sales data, interest rates fell marginally over the week. However, as discussed in recent podcasts, we do continue to expect the longer-term trend in interest rates to be higher. Despite the week being all about the economy and the Fed, earnings season started with a small handful of companies already announcing second quarter earnings. While it is too early in earnings season to determine any sort of trend, and too few companies have reported, initial earnings reports from the handful of banks that have reported show encouraging signs despite the slowdown in capital markets activities. The coming weeks will be busy as earnings season gets into full swing. At Tortoise Credit Strategies, in general, we expect a continuation of the positive earnings momentum we witnessed in the first quarter, although we also expect credit metrics, such as leverage and interest coverage, to remain stretched, consistent with what we typically see late in the business cycle. Thank you for listening to the Tortoise Credit Strategies podcast, and hopefully you will join us for next week's edition.
Thank you for joining us, and stay tuned for our next cast. Have topics you want covered or other feedback to share? Write us at info@tortoiseinvest.com. Nothing contained in this communication constitutes tax, legal, or investment advice. Investors must consult their tax advisor or legal counsel for advice and information concerning their particular situation. This podcast contains certain statements that may include forward-looking statements. All statements other than statements of historical fact included herein are forward-looking statements. Although Tortoise believes that the expectations reflected in these forward-looking statements are reasonable, they do involve assumptions, risks, and uncertainties, and these expectations may prove to be incorrect. Actual events could differ materially from those anticipated in these forward-looking statements as a result of a variety of factors. You should not place undue reliance on these forward-looking statements. This podcast reflects our views and opinions as of the date herein, which are subject to change at any time based on market and other conditions. We disclaim any responsibility to update these views. These views should not be relied on as investment advice or an indication of trading intent.